This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Das Tor, der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball. Tor, 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 Tor,
Tor, Tor. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. Your home for the greatest league in the world when there's drama, action, yellow cards, it seems. Seems to be a lot of the past couple of weeks. Everything with the league. We look forward to bringing you to another episode. We do apologize that we didn't get you up to speed after the midweek fixtures, but blame maybe the higher authorities as to why we were forced to do almost two episodes within a week, and why they had midweek fixtures instead of starting the season on a weekend like every other top flight German league. There's plenty to talk about and plenty to deliberate about. We are changing the structure just a little bit. It's a little tactical adjustment. We're going to be focusing on the contenders, who is in the hunt for the top three at the moment, and the relegation battle, which is really hotting up. We'll talk about that in depth, as well as what's left of those teams that are sitting in mid-table. And of course, your topic questions to help me dive in to this crazy world of what was match day 20 and much, much more. The wonderful Eva Lotte Boll. Eva, welcome once again.
Good morning from a very rainy Germany. Well, and I'm happy to be back.
It's our pleasure. Now, Eva, you have been and you will be quite a busy one this week. Tell us what you've been up to so far this week.
Well, yesterday evening, of course, we record Tuesday morning German time or Middle European time. I was guest at the wonderful Rasenfunk. It's a German podcast, if you know it. It's really cool. Had a lot of fun talking about the Zweite Liga and Armenia in particular. If you want to give it a listen, do it. And had a lot of fun. And also looking forward to this episode and the episode on Thursday with the wonderful Felix Tamsud.
Yes, that will be on Thursday, releasing on Friday. We are super excited for that. We will do a Twitter post. If you have any questions for Felix, we do ask you to just send them in via the Twitter or send them to me. Doesn't really matter, but we're absolutely stoked to have Felix on it. It should be a very good podcast, much like this one, we hope, and we should get underway straight away. And we should start right at the top, the contenders. Let's see how they went on match day 20. We'll start with Arminia Bielefeld. They travelled to Erzgebirge Aue. It was a 0-0 draw. It was not a game that I watched a lot of. I was watching another game for my analysis work. But Eva, you're the best person to talk about this. Tell us how the game went from a Bielefeld standpoint.
Well, I think it was the expected difficult game for Arminia. Our, as we talked about through the season, is a really, really good home side. They are second in the home table with Stuttgart. They're just divided by goal difference. So really good, really, really good home side. The first 30 minutes was kind of an open game. Both teams had the chances to score. But after Arminia would have scored a goal, which wasn't acknowledged by the referees because we do not have goal line technology in the Zweite Bundesliga. It kind of got changed to that mostly Arminia played and had most of the possession and Aue was just standing in their own half. So it was really, really difficult for Arminia to build up the typical game. Over Hartl, over Prieter, they were always very quickly circled by our players. And of course, the likes of Andreas Vogelsamma being out for the next couple of weeks due to midfoot fracture is really, really bad. So, yeah, in the end, this 1 point hurts more than it helps us, maybe.
It is an interesting case with Bielefeld for this game. And it may be a sign of things to come. We know how outrageously good their away record is, by far the best by an absolute country mile. But the way Alba played them may be an indicator that teams might decide to sit back, allow Bielefeld to have, was I think it was 73% possession. It's going to mean that Bielefeld are going to have to find creative ways to get the goals. And if they don't, then they are going to set themselves for a bit of a tough Rückrunde. The Vogelsamma injury is massive. I guess the question would be, if you were Uwe Neuhaus, Eva, who would you like to see replace, as much as it's a tough replacement? Who do you think would be best fit to fit the Vogelsamma role?
I think it's really difficult to find the perfect replacement. The both players I would highly recommend for that spot are Sjoerd-Simon Edmundsson, of course, and Seiyu Zuku, because they're the nearest to scoring goals, and we need somebody like that. We do not only need somebody who is good in playing football, but also who can score goals next to Klose. And that would be either Zuku or Edmundsson for me. Of course, there's names like Staude are mentioned as well, which is really unlikely for me because he wasn't even in the lineups for the last games, or in the, like, even in the 23 people lineup. So I do not see him playing, as well as Sebastian Müller. He's way too young to get pushed into this role. He will, I think, with now Vogelsamma being out, he will get his time more likely than before. But yeah, for on Sunday, probably Edmundsson or Zuku.
It is interesting. I had, as a smoky idea, Anderson Lekoki and him being interchangeable with Fabian Hartertz, which I think would be quite an interesting thing. Lekoki is very quick, very good on the ball, tracks back well. Maybe that's a thing. I guess with Auer, they remain in the top six. Probably not a whole lot to say about them. They defended a lot in this game. And they were able to hold off Bielefeld's attack. So all in all for them, good result. Bielefeld travel to Jan Regen... Oh, sorry, they host Jan Regensburg, excuse me. Auer have a tough task. They travel to Stuttgart. The next of our contenders, they were one of only two sides to win in the top five. That was Hamburg being one of them. 3-1 win away at Bochum last night. They had to do it the hard way. They came from behind. The goal scorers for Hamburg, Leibold, Poyan Palo in his first game for HSV, and Sonny Kittel. Not convincing, either, is the best way to describe Hamburg's performance. However, once they got the goal, they really just drove the game home.
Yeah, they seem to be out of the game after the 1-0 lead for Bochum for a short couple of seconds. I thought Bochum was the better team for a long time in the game, actually. But HSV is a really good team this year. They have really good goal difference as well. I think they have 43 to 21 goals now, which is really good. And if they start scoring, you could see it against Nuremberg as well. They're really, really easy to keep on going. They have a lot of players that can easily convert the chances they get. I think it also was their advantage that Bochum completely lost their touch with the game after HSV leveled. It was really easy for them afterwards. But yeah, not an all-in-all really good performance by them, but they took the 3 points home.
Yeah, and we probably speak about it ad nauseam. Other podcasts probably do the same thing. You have to find ways to win if you're going to be a promotion candidate. Hamburg have been that team that has done so. The two wins in 2020, 4-1 at home to Nuremberg, and they absolutely destroyed Nuremberg in that game. This game, you know, it wasn't all their own way, and good teams find ways to win. You know, Leibold's first goal of the season, Poyan Palo, of course, on loan from Bayer Leverkusen. He himself, confidence-building goal for him, and they'll be very happy with that. On to Borkum, just quickly, Simon Solo got the goal. It's his fifth of the season, but I think almost the best way to describe it would be crestfallen. They were really good in this game. They showed a lot of heart and spirit. They were on top for the majority. Eva, this puts them in a really tough bind. They're now 16th in the league. We know their defending is, not good. And it was, I think the thing is, if you exclude the first goal, the mistakes in the second and the third goal would be really frustrating for manager Thomas Rice.
Yeah, and I keep saying the same thing over and over again. It's just the defense, which is the hugest problem that Bochum has at the moment. They have really good strikers on the likes of Ganvula, Zola, as well as Jewel is a good replacement for some of the other players. But in the back, they completely lose it. I think someone like Suarez or De Kali, as well as Lech got put in this game after not playing for a year or so. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have the confidence that you need in a situation like that he had against Poyan Palo, that you really have the connection to the player. And I think you could see it. Most parts of the game, as I said, they were really good in attacking. And if they would have played like this against Armenia, I'm sure it would have been a much more closer game. It wasn't that difficult because they had 7 defenders on the pitch for like 60 minutes or so. So pretty much like that performance, but they're tremendously bad in the back.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem going forward. And when you need to be stable defensively in a relegation battle, yeah, not good at all. Let's move on to Stuttgart. They drew 1-0 at St. Pauli. Their goal scorer for Stuttgart, Mario Gomez, his fourth of the season, 2-2 for him. They played a very weird game at the Millerntor. They went behind from a goal from Henk Veerman, a very good goal by the big Dutch striker. It's kind of weird to describe their performance, Eva. They had chances, but at times, good portions of the game, they were easily the second best team on the pitch.
Yeah, I think they had problems with the way St. Pauli played. St. Pauli is a really good home side, actually. They're much better at home than they are away. I think away they only got like 4 points, mm-hmm. Which puts them 17th in the away table. And I think Stuttgart, we talked about it before, I think they have a lot of problems with teams that don't just hold back, that are kind of aggressive in attacking, and they have problems with that. And Stuttgart, they showed it against Heidenheim as well in the second half especially. They're not really on their standards that they should be. They can do much better. I don't think it was the right decision for Pellegrino Matarazzo to change the lineup on 4 positions after winning 3-0. It kind of takes back the stability that the team needs at this moment. And I think they can be lucky that they host Auer at home, because Auer is, just like St. Pauli, not really good away. So that's kind of easier for them, but it's still Auer who is in 6th place. So the rest of the season will be very tough for Stuttgart, I think.
We spoke about this off air, but Stuttgart have been dealt a very tricky card in terms of the fixture scheduling. It's essentially 3 games in 7, but if you extend it, it's about 4 games in 10. So that may factor in the rotation. They play Leverkusen in the cup coming up, and then obviously they've got Auer at home. Very tricky scheduling, so I guess the rotation will come in, which is fair for them. St. Pauli, yeah, they were good. They were very good in this game. And some good saves by Grigor Kerbel made sure that they didn't put this game out of reach. They have improved a little bit. I'm not going to say they're over the hill good yet. They still sit 12th. But they are closing the gap. The gap between 10th and 11th is 4 points, which is nothing. But as we will talk about in our next section, that bottom six or seven is very, very tight. We will touch on another team that I guess we're not sure if they're legitimately in the hunt, but they're fourth. It is Greuther Fürth. 2-0 winners over Jahn Regensburg. They did it early. They did it efficiently. And they were very, very good in this game. The goal was Maximilian Vitek. Really good goal outside the box, beating Alexander Meyer at his near post. And then Harvard Nielsen finishing off an absolutely gorgeous pass by Branimir Hrgota. His third for the season. I guess I'll do most of the chatting on this game, being that Eva was watching the Bielefeld game. They played very good. They attacked a lot on the left-hand side, even though in terms of the expected goals, it was much better to attack through Hrgota and Maxi Sauer on the right. Vitek had a lot of the ball. He had 47 completed passes, easily the best player on the pitch. And they produced a very good away performance. That makes you believe that they can. Their front three are exciting. The Hrgota, Keita Ruel, and either Stefaniak or Green. And even having Nielsen in behind, they're very well, relatively organised defensively. And they played very good in this game. Jahn, on the other hand, they played a very dirty game. And I guess this is the only time I'll bring in Eva. It's not the first time they've played a very hard-nosed, aggressive style of football that you may suggest oversteps the boundaries of possibilities.
Yeah, I think if we talk about hard or aggressive football, I think it's, if you look at the refereeing these days, it's a bit surprising. If you, for example, compare games like Bielefeld-Bochum, which wasn't a really aggressive game at all, but still got 13 yellow cards and Riemann being sent off. And then compared to games like Fürth against Regensburg, which are two sides that are known for their aggressive playing. I do not, we talked about it off air, I do not understand if you say we're going harsher in the games, they do it in all the games. Like, then every referee has to have the same set of rules and not a lot of interpretation that is left there. And this is what happens in German football at the moment, which is not really good, because in every game you have the comparison, but this was a red card last week, this was a yellow card yesterday. And I think this completely destroys German football. And also, yeah, Regensburg, the only way they kind of get points is by them being aggressive. But halfway through the season, teams get accustomed to this. And this is why they do not get through with this anymore. That against Fürth, I saw a couple of seconds, was really, really bad. And they have to look out.
Indeed. An amen on the refereeing. Fürth will play Hanover next week at home, and as we mentioned, Jan away at Bielefeld. Let's take our first break, and on the other side we are going to talk about the battle at the bottom. Seven teams are very much in the fight for survival, and we are going to start with Vejen Wiesbaden as our team to focus on in just a moment. As we mentioned, there is a logjam of teams trying to avoid the drop. You could go up as high as Darmstadt in 11th, who are very much in the danger zone of next week being in that bottom 3. But we will start with Wien Wiesbaden. It is a game that featured two sides in that tilt, them and Hanover. That game was played at the HDI Arena. 2-2 was the score. Stefan Eigner getting the first goal. Then Hanover coming back, Haraguchi and Toikert, their third of the season each. And Benedikt Rucker's late goal from a very poorly defended set piece, giving Wien a point. Let's talk about Wiesbaden first of all. I see my notes have correctly put them a few spots higher than they should be. Because they are in 15th. I don't know why it had 12th. It was a glitch. They, again, like their away form is not too shabby. It's where they've been picking up their points. It was a good spirited point for them, and I'm pretty certain they would be more than happy to take that one away.
Yeah, definitely. Although Hanover isn't really good this season, it takes some courage to take a point after taking the lead. Then Hanover taking the lead. There is some confidence going into the next couple of weeks, which, for example, be them playing Bochum on Sunday. Didn't see a lot of that game. I was in Hanover, but to actually move there, so not so a second of that game, just heard it. I think it's a typical game that Hanover loses in the last minutes. Wiesbaden have shown they can find their way to come back from a defeat, or just do not get defeated. And for them, it's a huge point going forward, as you said, putting them out of the relegation zone. Still not really confident with their performance overall this season. But for Hanover, it's the bigger loss.
Yeah, it will absolutely feel like a loss when you consider that they scored twice in the space of 4 minutes. They got in front late. Everything looked like peaches and creams. And a gut-wrenching draw that would feel like a loss. It means that they have now failed to win in four consecutive games. It puts them in a very uncomfortable position that is 14th. Not good. They are still working in all their new players. I thought Domi Kaiser was solid. And he was good on set piece duty. But they have a long way to go, both sides, to get out of any sort of remnants of trouble. Let's move to Dresden. They are still bottom. And had they won on the weekend, they would have been only a point behind Karlsruhe and Bochum. Instead, they remain just a bit off the pace. Just 3 points now. 0-0 draw at Heidenheim. But they were actually really competitive in this game. And actually, it was an on-loan player from Heidenheim, Patrick Schmidt, who really caught the eye. He was dangerous. But I guess it basically sums up their season. I think he was just a couple of inches away from making the pivotal touch. And as a result, they didn't leave with 3 points. They only left with one.
Yeah, but of course, this isn't enough for them. Mm-hmm. But if you look how Dresden screwed up the rest of the season, kind of, for them, keeping a clean sheet the past two games, the 1-0 win over Karlsruhe, and now a 0-0 draw against Heidenheim, or in Heidenheim, which isn't really easy, because Heidenheim is a really tough opponent. So I kind of feel this is more a win for them than a loss, especially because Bochum lost as well. Karlsruhe lost. So for them, this might be a bigger point in the end than they can imagine now.
Yep, every point counts in a situation like this. But I think they will feel a little bit on the disappointed end, because it was there for the taking. I don't think Heidenheim were at their best. If we just touch on them briefly, it means they dropped to fifth. More importantly, they lose ground on the likes of Stuttgart, the Hamburg, and Bielefeld. It keeps them tight within Fürth and Erzgebirge Aue. Toby Moore, who's their one and only signing for the winter, has fitted in well. I thought he was quite good in the first game he played for them against Stuttgart. So he's fitting well, but they still probably, you know, they're still learning how to really utilize him properly. But yeah, not a bad result for either time. So I guess they didn't lose, so that's a positive. Let's move to Nuremberg, another one of those sides that is, like Hanover, has grossly underperformed. But they did win on the weekend, a 2-0 home win against Sandhausen. Mikael Frey opening the scoring on 12 minutes. He would, of course, be late sent off. And Robin Hack, who's been by far their best player this season, his 7th goal of the campaign. Massive win for them. Puts them out of the bottom three. And a good response, Eva, after what was an atrocity in Hamburg.
Yes, just what I wanted to say. I think it was kind of what you always say, the reaction that you need to show after you lose 4-1 to Hamburg, especially them keeping a clean sheet after being down to 10 men is confidence-wise a huge step forward. And Sandhausen is not a team you should underestimate. They're always a tough opponent as well. And yeah, for them just to, as I said, keeping a clean sheet, although being one man down, just bringing this over 90 minutes, getting out of the relegation spots, huge win for them. Good to go with a win in the back to Osnabrück, because this won't be an easy game at all.
No, it won't be. But we have spoken about their inability to defend 2 clean sheets in a row, which is good for them. Defensively, they had Mavropanos, who, of course, is on loan from Arsenal. And I think it was Margreiter was playing as the other centre-back. No, it was Oscar Sorensen. Excuse me. So that might be what they take forward. I think those two defended quite well. Yeah, they have Lucas Moule. I was actually having a conversation with one of our analysts at Ronnie Dog Media, and he asked me about Moule, and I think Keller actually thinks he's a right back, because that's where he played in the 4-1 loss and wasn't particularly good. So, yeah. Sandhausen, we'll touch on them quickly. They had the more scoring chances but couldn't really finish their dinner. You know, it's just one of those things. They still they're 4 points above that sort of pack that is in the relegation fight. So they're okay for now. They play Heidenheim next week in a bit of a derby game, which will be watched. Let's move on. Karlsruhe, they're probably, out of all the teams we're talking about, they've had easily the worst run recently. 4 defeats in their previous 5, and that was made the 4th one thanks to Holstein Kiel. They were beaten 2-0. It means, as of last night, as recording, of course, Tuesday morning, German time, Alias Schwarz is no longer the coach of Karlsruhe. He is the 8th. Karlsruhe are the 8th team to change their manager this season. Which, yeah, longevity is not a factor in the Zweite Bundesliga. It's either you're good or you're not. He, even though he got them promoted, hasn't been good. Their last win was a 4-1 home win against Jan Regensburg. Christian Eichner at the moment seems to be the guy who's taking over. Eva, they have just completely fallen off a cliff, Karlsruhe, and the defeat and the defending for the 2 goals they gave up pretty much sums up where they are at the moment.
Yeah, and I think it's really surprising. They started off well into the season. Everyone was a bit surprised, but then they lost to Stuttgart, for example, and afterwards it's not really good what happened at Karlsruhe. They seem deeply left without any confidence at all. Not a lot of good games, although you have to say, for example, the draw against Bielefeld, they showed some really good qualities. But they keep getting goals or keep conceding goals that are just poorly defended. And it doesn't really matter who they play. Everyone from bottom to top, you shouldn't give up goals like this that easily, and them traveling to Hamburg is not making this whole thing easier. And they really have to watch out, because they're only 3 points away from Dresden. They can easily hit the 18th next weekend.
Yeah, and that would be an absolute disaster. They are equally the worst defensive team in the league, along with Bochum. Yeah, maybe a fresh face. They'll be hoping for the that managerial bounce that you get when you bring in a new manager. But yeah, they need a lot of help, especially at the defensive end. Let's talk about Kiel briefly. Good win for them. And it was a Kiel boy, Fabian Riese, who was by far the best player on the pitch. His goal and assist for the first and of course, the second goal for Finn Porath. Dream debut for him. And yeah, I mean, he might be a case. I know it's way too early. This is a way too early kind of a prediction, but he could be one of those players who at Kiel maybe blossoms into the one of those who is not good enough for the Bundesliga, but might be a bit of a improved quality in the Zweite Bundesliga. So good for him. We knew you always had it. It's just a shame it never worked out at Schalke, but we'll keep an eye on you. Well done. Good win for Kiel. Let's take our final break. And on the other side, we are going to look at the Darmstadt and Osnabrück game and, of course, answer your topic questions. Yes, and the last bit of our agenda for today's episode is, of course, the Darmstadt-Osnabrück game and, of course, your topic questions. So let's get with the game that's probably surprised in terms of scoring. When you look at two sides who are very in tune defensively, they gave up 2 goals apiece. Serdar Dursun opened the scoring for his 9th of the season, and then a penalty just before halftime ensured that Marcos Alvarez got his 9th goal of the season. Benjamin Gert got his first of the season on 77 minutes in, I guess we'll talk about it in a sec, his goal. Yeah, a bit of, yeah, we'll question that. And then Felix Platter, another ex-Schalke player, by the way, he got his first goal of the season. He's been out for a long time with injury, so that's great to see someone coming back and making an influence. Point is useful for Darmstadt, but I guess we should talk about the goal for 2-1. We looked at all the camera angles. I really can't tell if it's handball. It kind of looks deceptive. What did you think of the second goal, Eva, for Osnabrück?
Actually, didn't see it, but because as I said, I moved on Saturday. Yes. But I actually, everything that goes on with handball is just not answerable anymore. You just can complain about it, and it doesn't really make sense anymore, because I have the feeling nobody knows the rules anymore. The commentators don't know, the referees don't know, the fans certainly don't know. So yeah, I think we just have to accept it how it is at the moment, although it's just not really cool how it is. Yeah, but I would agree that it's a bit weird that Darmstadt took all 3 points, because of what I saw, they were the dominant team. They should have won. And in the end, it looks like they're lucky that they got a point out of it. If you just look at the way how the goals were minutely divided.
Yeah, it's... well, I guess I'll give my take. It kind of looks like a hand, but it's not conclusive to overturn the decision. Much like in the NFL, where whenever you're unsure or if there's not indisputable evidence, that's it is pretty clear, you stick with the original decision. So I guess the goal is probably the best way to stand. Yeah, I do agree. Darmstadt were the better team for a good number. This Osnabrück, for some reason, just really, really struggle away from home. And it's almost like they look like a completely different side. They did have their chances, it has to be said, but they were far from convincing anyone that they should have taken the 3 points. So I guess overall the points are probably fair to be divided, but to be split up, sorry, because you can't divide three, one in, you know, math. Yep. me smart. So yeah, it's probably a fair reflection of the game in the end, even though Darmstadt should be aggrieved that they didn't win the game. We have only one topic question. It's from Steel Penguin at Steel Penguin 3. Says, hello, everybody. Hope you all had a good weekend. Any predictions for the relegation battle? Now, if we look at the table as it stands, 3 points separates 11th, which is Darmstadt, and Karlsruhe in 17th, with Dresden just 3 points behind KSC at the foot of the table. That essentially gives us, seven teams to figure out who is going to be in the bottom three. And I know, Eva, that is a very difficult task, being how stupendous this league is.
Yeah, it's really, really close. If I had to make some predictions, for me, I do not think that Karlsruhe fight its way out of this situation. I kind of think Dresden will reach the relegation spot, and the third team, really difficult for me, it's actually either Nuremberg or Wien. So two completely different clubs from where they came from at the beginning of the season. But predictions are really hard at that stage of the season. I think we said it last year, we can't even predict who is going up, who's going down in April, because this league is so incredible close in so many matters. So just any lucky guesses, because it's the first time this season I actually have four correct places in my prediction table, which is amazing. I think it's season best. But yeah, this shows how wrong you can be in this league, and I'm sure this league will find a league way to prove me completely wrong.
Yeah, it's what this league does. I guess because we're not fence setting, I think the only change I would have is Bochum barely surviving, and Vayen in that bottom three. I just don't trust Vayen. I don't really trust Bochum defensively, but I like what they do in an attacking sense more than what Karlsruhe brings to the table. And as a result, they will just do enough. However, I'm sure if you ask me this question in a month's time, I may come up with three completely different teams. So that's just the way this league is. And if Dresden somehow win on the weekend and the teams above them aren't able to take maximum points, then oh, God help. Get your seatbelts on and strap in, because it is going to be an absolutely bonkers ride to the end. That's the end of this week's, the first of two episodes of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We hope you enjoyed the newish formula. Let us know what you think at our Twitter handle at Zweite Bundesliga Pod. If you liked it, let us know. If you're not a fan, let us know, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Until next time, Eva, thank you for joining me once again. I will see you on Thursday.
I will. I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, aren't we all? It's going to be an exciting one to have Felix on. From me, Matthew Carrick, it's been a pleasure. The next podcast, of course, will be out on Friday. But until next time, have a good week. Goodbye.
Das könnte was für Rede werden, so ist es. War mit Ansage. Gästeführung durch den Ex.
Vorbei an Stenzel Miyaichi, sucht Fährmann. Fährmann, Tor! Kittel, Gambula und Leiber!